Where would an Olympic gold medal rank? Do you want to compete? What do you think?
I would sign up tomorrow to be on the team. I've always dreamed of competing for my country and being able to wear my own gold medal. It was a much different game than I thought it would be, but I do think that there is a potential space. I would love to do it. I'm from California, it's in LA, I live here now, so who knows?
Why was that music so loud? What's going on there? That wasn't us. That was in the clip. I mean, it was us. We chose to play it. I'm just saying, like, that the music was pageantry there for Josh Allen talking about his desires to be involved as a quarterback. I assume a quarterback for flag football in the next Summer Olympics. Good to have you along for the ride on a hot, sunny Friday here in Western New York. I'm the Bulldog. Mike is still on vacation. He'll be back on Monday, but guess what? Then I'm gone for a week. So we'll be back together eventually. It's summer. It's how it goes. I'd give you the phone number right now, but that would be stupid because we're going to talk to Sam Panayotovic, our buddy from Chicago, Fox Sports Reporter, Fox affiliate in Chicago, Sports Reporter. I'm making this harder than it needs to be. Sam, what's going on, man? How you been? We missed you.
I miss you, Bulldog. I always miss you, though.
Well, that's touching. Have you become a huge soccer honk now? I'm seeing you. I saw you at the USA, some watch party for a USA game. You were dressed up like a Karate Kid or something. And then I saw you with the France fans yesterday. Are you becoming more into soccer than you ever were, or are you just, you know, punching the clock?
Honk is a good word. I don't know if I would use honk, but I do appreciate a honk. I can throw up a front every 4 years for soccer, can't I? I feel
sure.
Like that's sort of where most of us are, though. I mean, look, I'm not ever turning the TV on to watch an MLS match. Maybe if I'm not hungover, I'll watch some English Premier League on Saturday, maybe, to kind of go back to sleep. But I think there's something to be said about having this national sense of pride every 4 years. And look, the Americans won the group. They won a knockout match. And then they got embarrassed at the very end against a very solid and very, you know, stingy Belgium squad. And Christian Pulisic didn't score a goal in the whole tournament, which was a little alarming for the best soccer player ever from America. But I think it was a fun run. It ended poorly, and now France is going to win the whole thing.
France is now, after their win yesterday, cumulatively over the last three World Cups, they have won 17 games, lost one, and they have two draws. But that is bonkers. The loss is in the final 4 years ago on penalties to Messi in Argentina. And I don't remember what the draws are, but obviously they must have been in the prelims because there are no draws once you get to the knockouts. You gotta play extra time or get to PKs. So they were the favorite going in, right? And they certainly have lived up to it, I think.
They were about plus 450, I think, on the high side coming into the World Cup. And then after group play, the odds makers were like, yep, let's cut that down. let's move them to 350, 3.25. And then I actually got a text yesterday. So Mbappe scored at the 60-minute mark. Dembele scored at 66 to take a 2-0 lead on Morocco, launching them into the, you know, semifinals, mind you, Bulldog. And I get a text from my buddy. I kind of like France to win it all. I'm like, wow, nothing gets by you. You know? Reinventing the wheel. I mean, they're plus 140 to win the whole thing. So it's not a coin flip, but it's damn close.
Yeah. Well, the scene around it, even with the U.S. out, I mentioned you're at this watch party for the France-Morocco match yesterday. That has been, I mean, I haven't been to watch parties, but just seeing all of the colors and the parades through cities and all the stuff, I got to tell you, when this thing, we knew it was coming, obviously for a long time, I was not super pumped about it. Like, I just didn't, it didn't mean much to me that North America was hosting this thing. And as soon as it started, I was like, oh, yeah, this kind of rules, having all these people come visit and, you know, or people in bigger cities like yours where there's a significant population, whatever, like Toronto. I got a friend of mine that went up to Toronto to watch, I think it was Portugal, Croatia, and those are two of the biggest populations in Metro Toronto. And, like, what a cool thing for that match to end up being there. So for lack of a better way to put it, the pageantry of it has really kind of won me over.
Absolutely. And in Chicago, I've been lucky now to cover, let's see, I've covered multiple, not games, but, you know, watch parties, yeah, I guess. There's this huge bar in the West Loop, and the capacity is about 2,800. And I saw a full capacity bar probably four or five times. I was out there maybe seven or eight. I'm kind of sick of the place, wink, wink. And I can't wait for a breather from soccer watch parties. But got to hang with the American fans multiple times, the Mexican fans multiple times. I mean, you want to talk about a loose crowd. Holy cow, man. I mean, there was a night I had to go because our station, you know, Chicago's very diverse, I guess.
Yeah, okay.
I think it's like 33% white, 33% black, 33% Hispanic. Like, it's pretty close to that. So there's a huge, you know, denomination of Mexican soccer fans. There was a match at 8 o'clock where I swear to God the bar was packed at 4.
Yeah.
4 hours before the match, Modelo, tequila, tajin, you name it. So by the end of the match at 10:15, we're on live TV. Some woman walks up to me on live TV and dumps a Modelo over my head.
Mm.
Like, that's what we're dealing with some of these fan bases. I got to deal with the UK. I think the French fans are the most fun. The Mexican fans definitely the most wild, and the American fans probably the most timid. I will tell you this, too. I think my favorite storyline from this World Cup was that group of Scottish fans that that were in Boston and never had ranch dressing for the first time, and they were trying to smuggle bottles of ranch on their planes home, and they, like, TSA was saying, nah, you can't do that.
Amazing. Sam Padianovic on the line with us from Chicago. So from a gambling perspective, is there anything smart to do with this, or just, like, put it all on France?
Well, I don't know about put it all. I think there's a world where Norway pulls an upset against England tomorrow. And obviously I can't sit here and tell you to bet France at +130 or bet Mbappe to, you know, yeah, to be the MVP, win the Golden Boot or whatever. But, like, there's a chance that this Holland kid has a couple of goals tomorrow and then maybe gets one more in the semis and he ends up winning the golden, what do they call it? The Golden Boot, I guess, is the most goals. Uh-huh. Like, DraftKings says top goal scorer. I lose track of what these awards are and what they're called. But to score the most goals, Messi and Mbappe now are both +130. So they're saying it's one of those two. But if Norway can get by England tomorrow, it'll be because of this kid, Haaland, Erling Haaland, who has, oh, by the way, 72 goals in 54 matches for Norway. Insanity. I mean, that's Gretzky-level point-per-game type stuff, you know?
Yeah,
yeah. He's 8-1 to have the most goals. It's unlikely. He's not the favorite. But the only way Norway makes it through into maybe the final, if they can get two more wins, he has to go off. So at 8-1, I'm a little intrigued. I'll say that.
Do you happen to know how far behind those guys he is at this point? I'm sorry to ask you that. I don't have it in front of me either.
I think he's a goal back.
Yeah.
But the problem is that Messi and Mbappe can score, you know, two per game, like, no issue.
And their teams are bigger favorites, too, I think. So, yeah, right.
Yeah, well, they're expected to play in the final. I mean, the math basically tells you we're going to get a repeat of the 2022 final, which is France and Argentina. Let's see. World Cup scoring stats, .. Mbappe has 8. Messi has 8. Haaland has 7. Kane has 6.
What are the odds on Kane? Because if they can
Kane,
get...
Kane, you can... Yeah. You can find, see, this is how you're supposed to think, though, right? Everybody can say Mbappe.
Right.
You can find Kane right now at 12-1.
All right. I'm not the expert, but the same logic that you use on Haaland, I think, applies to Kane. Like, if he helps them get past Norway, then, you know, or if England gets past Norway, he probably scores. So now he's one back, and it, recognizing Mbappe and Messi will keep scoring too, probably. But I might, you know me, I'd rather lose $10 than win 12. So let me get on the guy who's probably not going to win because the odds are better. Sam Panayotovich, our guest on the Western Hotline here for a couple of more minutes. All right, enough World Cup. I wanted to ask you about the AFC here in the time we've got left, because it's dawned on me this week working by myself. It's easily something I could have stumbled upon working with Mike, but just the conversations we've been having, that over the course of really since the Bills arrived as a contender in 2020, when Josh Allen blasted off, it's been mostly Chiefs, Bills, Ravens. Chiefs, Bills, Ravens. You know, Cincinnati's had a turn here or there. The Ravens have had weird years where they've missed. But mostly in the summer, we're talking about those three are kind of on a tier by themselves. And I wonder if you think, I think maybe that tier is gone. I feel like the other teams here, Denver, New England, the Chargers maybe, Houston or Jacksonville, I feel like they're closer to the Bills and the Chiefs and the Ravens than they were even a year ago.
So according to most sports books, the number one tier is still Baltimore and Buffalo, but those are two teams that haven't won jack, you know, but they're just like, they're constantly highly rated and highly respected by the sports books. I mean, Baltimore has been either one or two in the sports books for the last 5 years. Ever since Lamar won that first MVP, they've been very highly rated and highly respected. But after those two, you've got six teams between 7-1 and 10-1. So that kind of speaks to the volatility or maybe the balance of power. I mean, Baltimore, Buffalo in order, New England, Kansas City, LA Chargers, Houston Texans, Denver Broncos, Cincinnati Bengals. Those eight teams are all between 5-1 and 10-1. It just speaks to the uncertainty of who's the best. Now, we could put Baltimore and Buffalo 1 and 2 because people are going to bet. Like, if you put Baltimore at 8 or Buffalo at 8, it's going to get bet.
Right.
So you might as well just save some money on the back end across the counter. Just make them both 5. You know, Lamar's awesome. Allen's awesome. But you're seeing ascension from the Patriots, the Texans, and definitely the Broncos. The biggest bets, though, in Vegas, I had John Murray on Fox Chicago yesterday. He said that their biggest liability right now on the AFC side is Joe Burrow and the Bengals. He said they wrote a couple of bets on them to win the Super Bowl, substantial bets, like $10,000 bets, and they are just loaded on Bengals to win the AFC bets. My counter was, are they going to play any defense? And he said, well, they might not have to.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if Burrow and them can throw up 30 points a game, they can make the Super Bowl. Why not?
I recognize that one guy does not have the impact on the defensive side of the ball that, say, like a quarterback would have on odds. But I feel like the Bengals' defense narrative completely ignores that they made the move to pick up Dexter Lawrence. Like, that's a significant piece. That's one of the top five defensive tackles in the sport. Again, I know that's not a meter mover from the odds perspective, but I think the Bengals defense is so bad thing is just sort of, I almost want to say it's getting a little lazy. So
that could be true. Yeah. And if you want to fade narratives, you know, the NFL is the sport to do it in. I mean, everybody and their mother told me you got to bet Saquon Barkley to win the offensive player of the year last year. After he won it the year before.
Yeah. No.
You know, it's like,
right.
You don't want to be late to the party. And I'll tell you what, I didn't plan on saying this. I'm looking right now. There's an 11-1 on Burrow to win the MVP. That's not a bad bet, man.
I think I like it. All right, Sam. Well, are you going to be on the scene for Norway, England, or do you get a Saturday off?
I'm off Saturday, Sunday until further notice. But that will all change once the Bears start.
All right, man. Well, appreciate you carving out the time as always. We did not get to like half of what I texted you this morning that we would talk about, but you know, that's how it usually goes.
Time flies when you're having fun, Bulldog. You know that.
Enjoy the weekend. Best to the wifey, and we'll talk again next week.
All right, see you, man.
That's our dude, Sam Panayotovich, Sammy P on the Twitter machine, Fox Sports Chicago reporter, and betting expert. Odds making I don't know. What do you want to be called? I need to text Sam, because when he had his show, we just talk about his show, but he didn't have the show anymore. He's working at Fox. Anyway, 803-0550 is, I make everything so hard, 803, including saying the phone number. 803-0550, there it is. Anything that's been covered so far, welcome to it. Paul Hamilton coming your way at the top of the hour for another angle on what's gone on this offseason so far in hockey, hoping to have some time to look at the rest of the Atlantic Division, or at least a few of the teams in the Atlantic Division, with Paul coming up here in about 15 minutes. So do stay tuned for that. Mike is away. I am the Bulldog, and this is WGR.